The Desert Kaupoi by Ariana Tsikau.
Finding a Diary. When I was young, Auntie Nance used to tell me stories about her husband, Uncle Tony. He died before I was born, so I never got to meet him. In the years before the Second World War, Uncle Tony travelled the world with the Waiata Māori Choir. He had a beautiful voice and played piano. I'm a singer too, so I was always curious about this uncle of mine. Recently, we were very excited to find a war diary that Uncle Tony wrote when he was in the 28th Māori Battalion. Now, more of his story can be told. Tony's full name was John Puraki Tikal Barrett. He was my dad's cousin and of Ngaitahu descent. Tony was named after our ancestor Puraki. According to our whānau, Puraki was so strong he could hold the weight of three men on each of his arms. Puraki fought hard to keep hold of our tribal lands. He signed the Treaty of Waitangi in 1840 on behalf of our people. In 1940, his descendant, Tony, joined D Company of the Māori Battalion to fight on behalf of all New Zealanders. Joining the battalion. Like most of the men who volunteered to join the Māori Battalion, Tony had never been in the army before. After signing up, he completed his basic soldier training. The battalion then travelled to England by boat. It was a very long and boring trip. Once there, he and his company completed specialised training before moving on to Egypt in North Africa.
The 28th Māori Battalion. The 28th Māori Battalion was part of the group of soldiers that New Zealand sent overseas to fight in the Second World War. The battalion was made up of five companies, which fought in Greece and Crete, in North Africa, and in Italy. 649 men were killed in action or died on active service. The 28th Māori Battalion was one of the most celebrated and decorated units in the history of the New Zealand Armed Forces. The Second World War. The Second World War began in 1939 when Germany, led by Adolf Hitler and his Nazi Party, invaded and occupied Poland. When this happened, France and Britain declared war against Germany. Many other countries fought alongside Britain and France during the war. They included New Zealand, Australia, Canada, and the United States. These countries were called the Allies. Italy supported Germany in the war, and they were called the Axis. The war was fought in many countries, including Egypt, Libya, and Tunisia in North Africa. The Second World War ended in May 1945. It lasted for 6 years, and more than 60 million people died.
In the desert. The desert of North Africa was very different from New Zealand. It was an arid landscape with no rivers and was dotted with scrubby bushes. Tony and the rest of the battalion had to learn how to adapt. They lived in tents dug into the sand and wore uniforms that allowed them to blend in with the desert. They continued their training and learnt to fight in the hot, dry conditions.
The North African Campaign. The Allies fought against Italian and German armies in North Africa. They fought to have control of the Suez Canal in Egypt, as war supplies were transported through the canal in large ships. They also fought for access to the oil fields in the Middle East. The oil was needed to fuel the army's cars, trucks, tanks, and aeroplanes.
When Tony arrived in Egypt, he was transferred to C Company because they needed more officers. C Company had been involved in heavy fighting, and many of its officers had been taken prisoner. The company was mostly made up of young men from Ngāti Porou. The company's nickname was the Kaupoi, Cowboys. At first, Tony felt that he didn't really fit in. He thought the men from C Company did not trust him, because he had come from D Company. One night, He overheard some of the men saying bad things about him. He strode up to the men and told them that if they had a problem, they'd better talk with him and sort it out. Tony knew that if they were going to fight as a team, they would need to be able to trust each other. Fighting the enemy. One of Tony's first missions was to locate the enemy's position. This kind of information was sent to those in charge, so that they could plan where and when to attack. Early one morning, Tony and his men headed out towards the enemy line while it was still dark. After a while, Tony left his men and went forward on his own. He couldn't see much, but up ahead was an object in the gloom. As he crawled closer, the stench of death wafted towards him. It wasn't until he was right next to the object that he knew it was the body of a soldier. Tony gathered information about where the enemy was and crawled back to his men. Suddenly, five German machine guns began firing. Amazingly, each burst of bullets missed Tony and his men. Before they'd left camp, Tony had arranged for two red flares to be lit at dawn to help them find their way back in the dark. Just before first light, the flares were lit. Tony and his men had just started moving when suddenly the Germans shone a bright searchlight right where they had been. It was a lucky escape. Attack on enemy lines. In August 1942, Tony and his men launched an attack on the enemy lines. The enemy fought back, and Tony's company were fired on by at least 150 German artillery guns. The noise was deafening. The shelling got worse. Tony was about to jump into a trench with one of his soldiers when he was called into a different trench. He later found out that the first trench had taken a direct hit from an artillery shell, and the young soldier had died.
I felt like a lucky angel was looking after me. The Battle of El Alamein. During the Second World War, there were two battles at El Alamein. The first battle, July 1942, stopped the advance of the German and Italian armies into Egypt. The second battle, October-November 1942, was a major turning point in the war. The Allies defeated the Axis forces and took control of the Suez Canal and the oil fields of the Middle East. Before El Alamein, we never had a victory. After El Alamein, we never had a defeat. Winston Churchill.
In the desert, the soldiers didn't just fight the enemy. They also fought the heat and the flies, which landed on their mouths and clung to sweaty areas on their bodies. They only ate before sunrise and after sunset to avoid the flies and heat. The flies were not only annoying, they were also a major health risk. They carried diseases. Everyone had dysentery because of the limited water supply. It was also hard to keep clean. Some of the soldiers saved their mates' lives by caring for them when they were sick. Those men were true heroes.
Our companies had two great battles during El Alamein: fighting the enemy, which was at times child's play, and waging war with the flies. This was a very major conflict.
Last days. By September 1942, Tony was back with D Company as a platoon commander. One morning, two of Tony's men were hit by the enemy's first machine gun fire of the day. In response, another soldier, MacDonald, was enraged and charged the German machine gun post. Tony shouted at him to come back. MacDonald returned and was standing with the others when a sudden machine gun burst knocked him over.
I will always remember when MacDonald fell. I was standing about a yard from him when a heavy machine gun burst blew off his left arm. He was so worked up that he picked up his arm and in his fury threw it at the machine gun post.
The machine gun post went quiet. Then Tony's men attacked with grenades and Bren gun fire. The fighting was extremely fierce. Bullets filled the air. But they finally managed to take the machine gun post out of action. Later in the battle, when attacking another machine gun post, Tony was hit in the left arm. His captain dragged him to safety. Tony was awarded the Military Cross for his actions that day.
Award of the Military Cross. Lieutenant John Puraki Tikau Barrett, 2nd New Zealand Expeditionary Force, 1942. Official citation. Lieutenant Tikau Barrett commanded the right forward platoon of the leading company in the attack by the Māori Battalion on the Deir el-Munasib Depression in Libya on the night of 3rd September 1942. His platoon was most heavily engaged during the whole of the attack and inflicted heavy casualties on the enemy, overrunning five machine gun posts. Lieutenant Tikau Barrett showed high qualities of leadership, keeping control of his platoon in a difficult sector in the darkness and under heavy fire. By his personal example of courage and initiative, he inspired his men to further efforts till he was severely wounded.
Home again. Tony's injury ended his participation in the war. He spent some time in a hospital near the Suez Canal and then returned to New Zealand by boat. It took another year for his arm to heal. Tony received his Military Cross at Ruatoria on 6 October 1943. It was a huge hui in honour of Moana Nui a Kiwa Ngarimu, another member of the Māori Battalion. Ngarimu had won the Victoria Cross, also in North Africa, before dying from his wounds. The people felt both sadness and pride when they thought about those who had died. During the hui, a rainbow appeared, forming an arch behind the stage. Kahukura, the atua of the rainbow, had graced the occasion with his presence. After the war, Tony worked in the South Island as a district welfare officer for the Department of Māori Affairs. He and his wife, Nancy, then looked after Māori forestry trainees in Kawerau. Tony died on 29 May 1970. I feel lucky to know more about my Uncle Tony after reading his account of the war, about his brave deeds and those of his fellow soldiers. We will remember them.